Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where our job is to help you build visibility, professional credibility, and connection with your ideal client by putting the human at the center of innovative marketing, so you can build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship with your ideal clients. I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm honored that you're here with me. If you haven't joined our wonderful marketing transformation community yet, go to innovabiz.co and collect your free gift as well. Do subscribe to the show and also leave a review because it helps others find us. Let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
It's so easy to get a leg up on your competition if you just think about there are humans with faces and names, hopes and dreams and families, and they're just like you, and all they're needing is a little help to resolve a little problem. They're not consumers, they're not credit cards, they're people like you and me, and it's kind of crazy, but being human is a big differentiator. It's a big competitive advantage.
Welcome back. I hope your week's been awesome so far. My recent conversations with author of Paid to Think, David Goldsmith, and with co-founder of Inbox Done and blog mastermind, Yaro Starak, they were awesome too. So go check them out if you haven't listened already. But stay here first and check out today's episode. I'm really excited today to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest, Steve Brown of ROI Online, a HubSpot Platinum agency partner and the first Story Brand certified agency. Steve and his team at ROI Online have worked with hundreds of clients from solo entrepreneurs to Inc. 5000 fastest growing companies to help them grow their business by implementing a holistic business growth system. Steve is also author of the book, The Golden Toilet, Stop Flushing Your Marketing Budget into Your Website and Build a System That Grows Your Business, as well as host of the ROI Online podcast. In our discussion today, Steve talked to me about looking at your website, or indeed any online asset, as a business process. He described simple tactics to earn your audience's attention, and it's all about focus. And he described his four fundamental pillars of a successful business. Without further ado, then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Steve Brown. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today, normally from Amarillo, Texas in the USA, but I believe currently located in Mexico, Steve Brown, who's the founder of ROI Online, a HubSpot Platinum agency partner and the first Story Brand certified agency, which is fascinating. Steve's also host of the ROI Online podcast and author of The Golden Toilet. So we'll learn more about that. Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, Steve. It's a great privilege to have you as my guest.
I'm excited to be here, Jürgen.
Now, The Golden Toilet, it's about flushing your marketing budget into your website and building and stopping doing that and building a system that actually grows your business, consistent with the title of your podcast and your business. So how did you get from, somebody that was doing websites in the early days, I guess, to starting an agency, ROI Online?
Yes. You know, I found myself, I was always in a business development position with the companies that I worked for. And over time, I would eventually take the initiative and go upgrade our website. I was starting to recognize that people had an expectation that a business should have a website, and being in charge of sales or being in charge of hitting my numbers, I wanted to make sure that the folks went and looked us up, that they would find the right information. What I realized was that it supported a sales process. And back in those days, it was cold calling. So you would go knock on a door, interrupt someone in the middle of whatever fire they were fighting, and expect them to take off their fire gear, put their fire hose down, and sit down and look so excited about, how can I help you, Steve, make your quota? And whether it was a good fit for them or not. And as you might guess, you close maybe 1 out of 10 of those. But what I started to realize is that the people that went to the website, looked around, did a little research, filled out a form, asked for you to come see them. They were interested in what you were selling. And consequently, you sold 2 out of 3 of those. So the closing ratio on those were much higher than the old school just go and knock on doors and interrupt people. I eventually ended up at a web design firm, and then I was on the other side of the coin, where I saw folks coming in with the same expectations of me, and I was relating with them, and yet I was realizing I was seeing a theme in their request that, hey, it was just a theme like this. I don't know exactly what to ask for, but I think I need to have a website, and there should be some expectation that this time of investment of time and money should pay off in some way. So they would use the best words they have. It's like, I think you need to show up in a search. I think we need to post pictures of our dogs on Facebook or something, and then we'll sit and wait for things to just blow up. And realizing that here, these business owners were trying to control a situation that they were uncomfortable in, I realized they really needed someone to help them start to see things the proper way, knowing what I knew, being in their position, what would I help them see? So I started my own agency, and just to convey that I understood that they have an expectation of this investment to pay off, that's why I named it ROI Online, an internet marketing agency. And so we started doing more educational process where they'd be involved. They would understand what we're doing and why, and they would come along better and start to understand why this investment of time and this thing that used to be fun and cute, this marketing stuff that's actual legitimate business process if you looked at it in the proper way.
Yeah, I love that story. It's having been in this game myself, I've seen how in the early days people would see something. Oh, that's a cool thing. There's a little flash person comes up there. There's a bit of flash on that website. That'll look cool on our website. Let's put that on our website. Or, I saw somebody else doing this thing, posting videos of dogs or cats. Yeah, and let's do more of those rather than what am I trying to achieve and what's the best way to achieve that. So in the book, The Golden Toilet, you certainly address a lot of those examples. Now, I know they've got different examples, but it's pretty much those are examples of flushing money down that toilet, if you like, because there's no clear objective behind those, and whatever looks cool on somebody else's site, whether it looks cool on your site or not is one question, but whether it does anything for the site is the other question. So what are some of the biggest ways you've seen that people actually waste money there and waste their marketing budget on fancy things on the website, or maybe it's SEO, or maybe it's other things?
Yeah, they look at it as more of a task to quickly get done. They look at it as, hey, we need to do this website thing, so let's hurry and get this thing finished. And so what do? You know, these are professional business people. They're smart. They started the business. They've put a lot of things at risk. And I believe that they're like the invisible heroes of our day because they risk their family's future on this idea. They create products and services that improve our lives. They actually employ a significant part of the workforce out there just because they were dumb enough, if you will, to start a business, even though they didn't know everything. And so they approached this problem the same way. What do I know, and how can I figure this out with the least frustration and trouble that I'm going to get into, because I don't know what to ask for. So the first mistake is looking at it as just a website and not a legitimate business process. They have a hiring process. You put in an application here. You get your background checked. You sit down and have several interviews. You have a testing period, and then potentially you get onboarded to the full extent. Or if we're going to do negotiations, there's a negotiation process. If we have a production line, there's the product comes in this door and goes out that door, and it goes through all these hands, and we document our process. There's processes in place in business all the time. So why wouldn't this be a legitimate business process instead of just this marketing thing I think we need to hurry and get done? And that's the whole reason I wrote my book, was to give my heroes the words, the images, the expectations, the diagrams, so that they could drive with better knowledge, so that they would have a map to see how they're going to go through this jungle of going from traditional marketing into the world of modern marketing.
Yeah, fascinating. And I mean, I've seen all of those things play out. I like the idea of a website as a business process. One of the things I've often said to people is a website's never actually finished. It's something that it's kind of like a strategy document, a living, breathing document. You modify it and change it. Sometimes you revamp it totally, but it's not something that's finished. So I like the idea of it being a process rather than a project or a series of to-do steps.
Yeah, you think about that investment of time. Here's an opportunity to, well, first of all, your customers, your prospects are being programmed by all the great brands on what the great experience, online experience should be with your brand. So when they show up, they expect you to have your act together, whether you do or not, and it counts against you if you don't, even though you're a little business. And the big brands have a big army of marketers and scientists and all this, but yet you still have to play and have to represent. But also you need to think about, you have a sales process. You have, so you could be supporting a sales process. You have a recruitment process. You could be supporting a recruitment process. You have people evaluating a product. So obviously you would do the default things that you would think, you know, I need a list and help people understand what we do and how it fits in their lives. So there's a lot of legitimate reasons why you'd want to do this. But if someone fills out a form, where does that contact record go? If you sent someone to a conference, if you sent someone to a networking event, before they leave, what would you say? Do you have your business cards with you? Why would you say that? Because you expect them to trade business cards. But why are we trading business cards? Because I'm going to come back and put it into some system and follow up. And hopefully, we're going to conduct business in some way. Well, that needs to be in place in the virtual world as well, not just the physical. So when someone fills out a form online, who does it go to? Where does it reside? Who's supposed to follow up? How do we pass that information on? That's a business process.
Yeah, I love it. Now, you talk about the four crucial components of a brand that are necessary to succeed. And, you know, I'd like to say necessary to succeed in business in general, because I think one of the things you've just said is really important to keep in mind, and that's that the fundamentals of conducting business apply online just as they do offline. So I'd like to say that these four components are critical to brand success, period. Just online. Yeah. So tell us what they are and how you see them playing out together.
Well, I realized I had all these great intentions for our clients, and they would come in and we would work with them. But at some point later down the line, they would they would have feedback. And I always struggle with what do I own in this that's not clear? They asked for social media marketing. We're doing social media marketing. They asked for a new website. We have a new website. They asked for these things, and we were doing them. But why are they coming back and going, I don't know. I tell a story about it in my book, but it's like, I don't think this is working. And I'm just flabbergasted. But what I realized was we assumed all the fundamentals were in place, but they weren't. And when you look at all the people in our industry, they're really showing, all right, these sexy chatbots, we've got artificial intelligence and machine learning and all these bells and whistles. But that's all based on the assumption that you have all the rest of your house in order. And I realized it wasn't true. If I don't know if you were in the military, but let's say you signed up and you were all about being a sniper. The first day you show up, what do? Hand you your sniper rifle and you go get the kit where you disappear in the grass? No. They shave your head. They put you in your basic stuff and they go run you to boot camp. And I realized that was what was missing in what we're doing. So the four things that you need to have in place, just like you would do any boot camp, you need to have clear messaging. What's the biggest challenge that we as leaders, business owners, parents, coaches, teachers, what's the biggest challenge we have? It's taking this, what's in our mind, this vision that we see, and clearly communicating it to the people that want to know. And it's hard. So clear messaging is number one. It's the biggest lever. Number two, it has to live somewhere. It has to live in some form of technology. So in traditional marketing, it would live in a brochure. It'd live in a pamphlet. It might live in a magazine or something. But now we're in the modern marketing. It has to live digitally. But it also has to be interactive. And so it lives in what we call marketing automation. And some of us are familiar with that because we're familiar with Constant Contact or MailChimp. And that's email marketing. But I call it like the Amazonian way of marketing. So we've all been to Amazon and it says, hey, welcome back, Jürgen. You bought socks last time and everybody that bought socks also bought these happy underwears. Would you like to see these? And that's expediting a user experience. It's using technology to recognize trends. And so that's marketing automation. But it also has to reside in a sales automation, in a CRM. Remember that time you got real excited. You did your research. You decided on a product. And then you went, either you called them, you went to their shop, you went online to order it. And something happened and it didn't work like you expected. You remember how upset you got? You got so emotionally upset, you wanted to write a bad review. Well, what was going on there? Is your brain had expected a similar experience. The messaging was clear. All my research set up this expectation that I would experience this. But when I started to talk to someone or interact with people, it was disconnected. That's why your sales automation process, the messaging needs to reside there and be congruent. Once you get those in place, then let's talk about running social media ads or what we call strategic campaigns. It'd be nice to run an ad and tell the person that calls you every day, I can get you to show up in all these searches. Well, that's great. But do you even know what my business is about and what I want and what my brand is? No, I just need to make my quota. Okay. So how nice would it be? Well, here's my brand guideline. Here's the landing page I want that ad to direct people to. Here's my demographic and who should be looking at this ad. And here's what I want them to do. I want them to fill out this form and fall into this lead nurturing system. Wouldn't you feel more like a legitimate business person with a strategy having that conversation instead of going, well, I don't know if I should be running ads or not?
Yeah, that's great. I love that. And I had to laugh there when you said about the I can rank you number one, because that's my favorite laugh of the day when I clean out my spam messages, and I'll always open up the ones that say, We noticed your website is not ranking number one on Google, and we can guarantee that we'll rank you number one on Google. Just, you know, reply back to this email or click here or whatever it might be. And I always, you know, the first couple of times I wrote a note back saying ranking number one for what, or so I'd say something exactly. like that. Yeah. And I'd say, do you know anything about my business?
And right.
In fact, if you search a certain term, it's actually ranking in the top three. If you search a couple of certain terms, it's ranking in the top three. So clearly that's not what they did. But yes, so having those four strategies in place, and that's like one of the things you said there, I think, is really important, and that's being congruent throughout all the stages of everything you do. And even beyond those four steps, whatever you do, I think that having a clear message is really important, and being consistent with that message and the expectation that message brings about.
It's hard to do, number one, and that's why it's such a competitive lever. You have to like humans. You need to understand something. Marketing is broken because the word consumer came into the marketing lingo. What is a consumer? What's the picture of a consumer when you think of it in your brain? Well, it doesn't have a face, doesn't have a name. I don't even know if it's male or female, but I do know there's a credit card on the other end of that consumer. So I call it cows with credit cards. So most marketing is just looking at you like cattle with a credit card. And that's why marketing's broken. But if you design marketing that realizes there's a person behind this that has a name and a family and a dream and hopes and a problem they want to solve, well, then we would do different marketing then. Oh, this would be like, well, someone asked me, I'm sitting at a bar or something. Well, what do you do, Steve? Well, I wouldn't say, well, I do 42% more social media clicks than the average. I wouldn't do that. I would just go, I help business owners get to act together online. Well, that's the way your marketing should speak. Just like you'd speak to a buddy that hasn't seen you in a while and goes, what are you up to now?
Well, now you're talking my language, the making marketing more human again. One of the things that I kind of find people probably find it difficult to reconcile, and that's the marketing automation. You talked about marketing automation. You talked about sales automation before, and there's, you know, I know you're a HubSpot registered partner, and there's great tools around that save a lot of time, make these things a lot easier. But the risk is, and I think a lot of people find it hard to reconcile, that it's still people doing business with people. So they kind of abdicate the marketing or maybe even the sales to these tools. So how do you advise people to view that so that they're taking advantage of the tools to gain them more time, to gain them more value for the investment, but at the same time strengthening the relationships and actually doing human marketing?
Yeah, I really thought about that, and I talk about it in my book, but here's where I landed. I always say our world has changed, but our brains have remained the same. We still use the same brain that was designed whatever that distance in the past was, okay? We survived and thrived even though we didn't even have language. We didn't even have text. But we lived in tribes, we communicated, and we survived and thrived even though we didn't have thick skins and shells and long claws and big fast legs. We didn't. But yet here we are, running the show, so to speak. And so our brain is this beautiful thing. We have this old part of the brain that I call the bodyguard. It's the brain stem. It's the old brain. It's the brain that we share with lobsters. We share with dogs. You know, you ever had that communication with an animal when you weren't speaking the same language, but you were connecting? It's because of that part of the brain. And I call it the bodyguard because its number one imperative is to keep us safe. Okay? and to help us survive. And it's in play, whether it was 100 years ago, right now in this technology that we use online. Here you and I are talking via Zoom, but our brain is still working and all the rules are still in play as far as our brain is concerned. And that's the way it'll be in the future. But that bodyguard does not process language. It doesn't read text. And yet no decision is made. No decision signed off on until that old part of the brain says, you know what, Jürgen, you're safe and I'm allowing you to spend a little more time here. But if I see something pop up that makes me nervous, I'm going to get you out of here. Remember the VIPs roll up in the Cadillacs and what happens? The bodyguards get out. What do? They look around to make sure there's no danger. Then they give the signal and then the VIP goes in and is partying or whatever. But if they see something happen, they whisk them out of there. That's in play, whether it's in a coffee shop, whether it's in a church, a football game, or online. And so my whole answer is this, is that you have the opportunity to convey that you understand someone and that they're safe here and that you're going to help them achieve what they need. You're not the hero. They are. You're just going to help them be successful in the challenge that they're facing.
Yeah, I love the bodyguard analogy. It's great. Oh, haven't heard that used before, but it really paints a picture of how we operate, right? And that bodyguard, I mean, it actually is an unconscious thing that gets to things like makes you sick to keep you safe from something else. So sometimes it actually does harm to you in a way that prevents worse things happening.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in there for the long game.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And
yeah.
So it'll put you through a little short pain, immediate pain, but to protect you and keep you safe and help you procreate and for the species to thrive on in the future.
Right. All right. So knowing that, how do we go about constructing messages and then keeping consistent and congruent to that message? Or maybe constructing a message in the first place that is going to be easy for us to keep congruent to because it's aligned with our values and our audience's values, because you talked about making your customer the hero, and we'll get onto story brand in a moment because I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, so you're asking great questions, and so if you think about music and noise, what's the difference between music and noise? It's still just banging and clanging, but music follows rules. That's why it becomes music. So you can hear, you go in at the first of a symphony and you hear all this, and then all of a sudden it starts to align and follow rules and it becomes music. That's in play as far as messaging as well. And so our brains desire messaging or communications that honors the rules of story. So every great movie that we watch or book that we enjoy, captures our brain, grabs our focus, and we start to daydream, but it's just more structured following the story, and we start to relate with the hero in the story. And so Story Brand is a great book, Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller. Just really when I ran into that, I ran into the Story Brand framework. It was the missing piece in our agency that helped us start to all align and follow a framework, a system, a process to really succinctly create great messaging. Messaging that was simple, messaging that honored the rules of story, messaging that your brain would really love and appreciate and actually feel safe and understood. So when we say feel understood and safe, so Donald Miller talks about, Joseph Campbell wrote a book called The Hero with a Thousand Faces. And he studied all these cultures throughout time and throughout different locations. And there was just this common theme of how all these stories happen. And you would meet a hero that would understand, oh, the status quo is not in play anymore. And then they have to confront change. Then they struggle with that change. And then they meet someone, or they read a book, or a donkey talks to them, or whatever. And they get a bit of insight that they start to get clarity and then start to play with that to make it through their challenges. And then they take that information. What they do with it, they either win or lose, or they come back to their community and save the date. And so when you think about when people show up on your website, when they read your information, when they look at a social media post, the same rules are in play. I'm the hero if I'm reading your stuff. And so we're competing against all these weaponized institutions that have armies of data scientists and technology. Think of Facebook, think of Google, think of Instagram, think of all these things that we can get lost for an hour in Facebook and not realize it. That's weaponized, not only attention. People say this is an attention economy. I'm arguing, no, it's the focus economy. Attention can be gained, but it can be easily lost. Focus, getting you to camp out for an hour, that's weaponized. That's your brain totally saying, you can stay here for a while. But honoring the rules of story is what that technology has done. And you can compete by just applying those things, by communicating, I understand you, you're struggling with this, and here's how I can help you achieve what you're wanting to do.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a great explanation. I'm a huge fan of story brand. And, you know, you talked about the hero's journey, Joseph Campbell's work. And the reason why that is so pervasive, I'm not sure that's the right word, but the reason why that's so all-encompassing is it essentially reflects our life, doesn't it? So if you go back to like the ancient stories that people handed down over centuries, going back to like Greek or Egyptian mythology or Nordic or mythology, and you know, you can look at these stories and they all have that same pattern, and it's really just a reflection of life. So we go through life, we've kind of established some routines for ourselves, all of a sudden something happens, COVID comes along, global pandemic, big change. Now we're faced with a challenge that we have to deal with, and a lot of people resist. So there's that resisting the change or resisting what might need to be done. So whether that's no, I'm not going to stay home, I'm not going to self-isolate, no, I'm not going to wear a mask, no, I'm not going to do this. And then somebody educates them that here's some things that you can do, and here's the evidence, and here's how I can help you do that. That will get you the result you're looking for. So it's life, isn't it? And if we play that out through our marketing journey, then it comes back to that whole idea of human marketing.
Totally. You know what really hit me? I read the story about silent movies, and I don't remember the exact year, but the age of the internet at this time is like, what, 30 years now or so?
Yeah, about that.
The exact same time frame existed for silent movies. You and I grew up, color movies, maybe some black and white, but it had sound and talking in it, okay? But there was a whole generation that grew up and there wasn't that. So you could take people from different cultures, different ages. You could put a baby that doesn't talk. You could put an older gentleman from some other culture, you and me, and we would watch that silent movie and we would tear up at the same scenes. We would giggle at the same slapstick. We would enjoy it. And that's what really hit me, was the real universal language was our faces and how that acting came out, even though there was no words.
Hmm. Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And the same is true when you think then silent movies. You talked about music earlier. The music, the music can evoke a whole lot of emotions as well. And regardless of age or culture, cultural background, language, kind of transcends all that. So if we can get some clear messaging that reaches people in that way, that's very powerful, isn't it?
It's totally. So you have the black and white motion, then you have the music. Well, that's another layer. So when you think of a website, you go there, well, everybody thinks, oh, it's only the words that are important. Hmm. No, it's the images. It's the colors. It's the feeling or the atmospherics that, you know, the environment that you're creating there. That's totally legitimate and important. And they need to be honored, not just the SEO text. That's why I'm serious. That SEO is such a big boondoggle and it's a big trap. But let me tell you why people sell it all the time. Because it's easy and it's hard to write stuff that people really appreciate and feel safe and understood. It's hard. So that's why it's such a big competitive advantage.
Hmm. Yeah, to me, it's kind of a shortcut. People think it's a shortcut and a magic pill, but there isn't a magic pill. I think I wrote a blog post, probably going back about 6 or 7 years now, I wrote a blog post saying, what's the magic trick to rank number one on Google? And I said, well, the magic trick is actually to give people the content that they're looking for that particular search term. And that's not something that's going to happen at the click of your finger. And yet the whole SEO industry seems to be built around this concept of, hey, we've got all these magic tricks that we can trick Google into ranking you number one for a whole lot of stuff. And I say, well, how is a small business, if that's what it is, or even a large business, going to outwit Google, this big multinational corporation with I don't know how many employees they have now, and I know for a fact that they only take the very smartest people on the planet. How is a small company going to outsmart Google? And wouldn't it be better to actually read all of public information that Google put out there and say, here's how our search engines work, and follow those guidelines, because that might actually give you a better chance of success.
Absolutely. I write a whole part about that in my book, but it's a scam. I like to say there's no silver bullet. Everyone knows in their heart there's not. Okay. That's why it's this, you know, that's how you can kill Dracula or whatever, the silver bullet, but it doesn't exist. Hard work is hard work. And those that are going to sit down and do the work are going to get the benefits from it. Trying to trick Google is like trying to build a sandcastle and come back next year. And I'd put perfect sandcastle SEO on there. It's not going to be there when I get back because the rules change. The environment changes all the time. It's a waste of time and focus. And as a small business, you don't have the luxury of wasting all that money on it. And that's why I call it the golden toilet. Because if you're a legitimate business person and you go and go, I need to put a bathroom in my office, you're not going to buy the golden toilet. You're going to get the porcelain one and move on. And the same thing's here. It's absurd. It's wrong. And it's not long game whatsoever. But to connect with humans, that's long game. You connect with one human, you make them feel understood, you help them out, you help them win their story, they're beholden to you. They appreciate that. They feel safe. That's what our grandparents were talking about. That's SEO is bogus. It's flat out bogus. I'll say it. It's bogus.
Mm. Yes, I have to agree with you there wholeheartedly, and it's certainly something that has been annoying me for a long time. As I say, I always get a good laugh out of these emails that come in saying, you know, we'll get you to number one on Google, and we notice your website is not ranking number one.
And see, that's all based on the assumption that everybody goes to your website. You would be surprised to know how many people that are your customers never went to your website. Mm. Never. They were recommended by a friend. Maybe they saw something on social media. Well, Facebook is a search engine. Instagram's a search engine. YouTube's a search engine. Mm. Apple iTunes is a search engine.
Mm.
You can SEO all day long on a website. But it's not on Yelp. It's not on Google Maps. It's not on Google Photos. It's not on any of that. And here's the thing. You can put all these photos on Google Photos and go in there and tell it, this image is my dog, Fern. And when I go do a search for Fern, it shows up all the images of Fern. Did I go to every image and do a hashtag Fern on it? No. And yet Google struggles to figure out what my website's about. That's absurd. We're all scared that Google's listening on our Alexa and our Google Home. They're listening to our conversations through our phone. They know everything about us, but our websites. Our websites are alone over here, and Google doesn't know anything about what that website's about unless we tell it this is a red apple. Bogus.
Hmm.
It's bogus.
Yeah, well, you brought up an interesting point there in terms of, you know, there's many, many different ways that people might find you online. And the converse of that, though, is, you know, where do you, as a business owner, how do you set up a system that identifies where you spend your time, where you spend your focus on? So you can't, you know, you can't spend equal amount of time on everything. So how do you build a system and identify something that you focus on?
Well, that's an excellent question and shows that you have a lot of insight in what we're doing. Here's the thing. So we all know, all right, we're having a conversation right now, and this is going to be a podcast. And so it's going to go onto an audio search engine. Spotify, iTunes, iHeart, whatever, all these different search engines, and sit there and reside. But at some point, why are we doing this, and what's our expectation? Well, we want someone that's listening to go, I really am relating with this person. I'm going to go check them out. So either there's a show notes, a link, they go do a search, okay? Well, they're going to search for ROI Online. Well, they're going to find ROI Online. Or they're going to go on LinkedIn and look for Steve Brown, ROI Online. But all those roads lead to somewhere on my website. Whether we post a video on YouTube. I wrote a book. It's on Amazon. But I don't know who watches those. So what do? I put opportunities for people to find out more and direct them to my home, my website. So they've found me in all these different ways, but if I don't have a strategy in place, and if I don't go, hey, if you want to know more, click on this link, and when they click on that link, they actually end up where they expected, then that was a strategy. It's a strategic application of taking advantage of all these opportunities to stumble, people to stumble into us. You think about how we go about life. So here I am in Mexico. If we go into town, we're going to walk around and go into shops. Well, what are we doing? I'm here to find this specific advice. I put this, I want a painted shot glass. Search, no. I'm just stumbling along, seeing what's here, and I find things I didn't know existed. Well, that's what you're doing when you put a podcast on iTunes, when you take the video component and put it in YouTube, when you write a book or you post a blog out there. What you're doing is putting things out there for people to stumble into, be attracted to it, and look on there, how can I find out more? And that's a strategic campaign, and that's why you do any of this. And at some point, what do we want to do? I have a system that's going to go, what? Hey, I'll trade you this information for your email address, your business card, basically, and we'll work on creating a relationship later.
So the key is to bring people back. Well, the key is to have a strategy as to what the outcome is to expect, right? But to then bring people back to one place where there's one message, that consistent message, and then that will lead on to the next steps, as you pointed out. It might be download something in return for the email address, which starts the relationship.
Absolutely. To me, it hit home when I thought about, you've done a trade show. So think about when you planned on doing the trade show. Okay, we need a booth, and we're going to have it in this area. So what do we need to bring with this? We need to bring information, what our product is, because people are going to walk by, and we're going to have little samples. And then we're going to, people that are interested, they're going to talk to us a little bit more. And then we need to collect their information so that we can create a relationship later. All your online stuff is a physical version of that. I mean, a digital version of that physical thing that we're all used to. So there was strategy behind why you picked that trade show, because your target market was going to be there. If you're selling bathtubs, you don't show up at a bridal thing and have a booth and then be all disappointed because nobody came by and wanted to talk about bathtubs when they're looking for a bridal dress, right?
Hmm.
So it's the same thing as in play. This is not rocket science, but you do need to have a strategy. And it's just consistent principles that are universal that'll be in play in the future in the same way.
Hmm. Yeah, I love the trade show analogy. And then in trade show, as I remember it, it was you had a fishbowl or something where people would deposit their business cards and you would then somehow transfer all those phone numbers and call people up afterwards and say, hey, you were in the booth. Maybe there's somebody had written on it that they were interested in one of the products specifically. So you'd then begin a conversation with them. And that's essentially what we're doing online, isn't it? So, yeah, I love that analogy.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a client that they came to me after a little, I don't know, we'd been doing great work for them for about 3 years. And they came to me and said, Steve, I just don't think this is working. And we had literally had a meeting and bragged about how we were proud of all the stuff that we were doing for them. Here, you could see people calling unique numbers, phone numbers that we had created to track. You can listen to the phone calls. You could see people responding to social media ads and filling out forms. We were just like, this is one of the best representations of what we do. And then I don't think it was 30 days. And then he comes up and goes, Steve, I just don't think this is working. And he had bragged about our team and loved our team and all our stuff. And I was just like, it was like a big punch in the gut. What do you mean it's not working? Well, come to find out, he was saying the numbers over last year were running about the same. Well, what's happening? He's had attrition. And so I realized, oh, this is a sales problem. So all those people coming by at the trade show, so to speak, were putting their business card in there. And at the end of the day, they were taking that fishbowl and dumping it in the trash and going home.
Yeah.
But this isn't working, Steve. And I was going, oh, okay. So if what responsibility did I have in that? I didn't insist on the sales portion that would be congruent with the marketing portion. If I was to do a better job, then I would go, we need to help you implement the follow-up process. So these leads that we're giving you, what system do you have in place to follow up? Well, we'll have Fred, I guess, call. Well, Fred doesn't work there 2 weeks later. So we need to have a system in place. What can we use as far as technology, CRM, to follow up? Do we need to do some training? It was embarrassing. And this is an amalgamation of a couple of conversations or a handful of conversations that I saw this trend. And I'm going, what am I doing wrong here? That was like really frustrating. And that was it. I assumed, I love sales. I assumed they had a strong sales process.
Hmm.
But on the whole, most people don't.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny, the analogy of the trade show, I remember, I think a lot of people tip out that fishbowl at the end in the trade show itself while they're cleaning up the booth. I remember having a conversation with, when I was still in the corporate world, after a number of trade shows, saying, well, who's got the cards? Who's going to do the follow-up? And it, in one occasion, it turned out that somebody had actually thrown the whole lot away.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's the problem. It's that the follow-up and the sales process is actually the issue rather than the transferring of that analogy to online.
Exactly. So think about, we had our SEO in place. We had the best SEO. We had the first booth as you come in the door. Okay? But it didn't matter if you dump out and you don't have a follow-up process or an expectation. It's a business process. That's why I really want that to reside. This is not about a website. It's about a legitimate business process.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I love that. That's a really strong message. All right. Well, this has been fabulous, Steve. I think it's a good time now to move on to the Buzz, which is our innovation round. And it's designed to help our audience, who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field, with some tips from your experience. So I've got five specific questions that hopefully you'll give us an inspiring answer to that'll drive our listener to go and do something awesome as a result today. So what do you think the number one thing is anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
I think the big lesson for me in that point was to see themes or patterns. We can get so close to a conversation. The reason I wrote my book is because when I kind of backed up, I would have all these business people come to me, and they didn't say the exact same thing every time, but it was the same theme. Steve, I think we need to do something with this website. I'm supposed to invest something in it. I'm feeling this pressure to do this, but I don't know what the proper expectations are to have of this. And when I, it was like a foreign film movie that their lips do this, but the subtitles don't match the lips, right? It was like, Steve, I need help. I need to be able to look to you to help me have the proper expectations and work. So that was a theme. And when it hit me, I thought, I need to write a book so that I can answer this question I hear all the time consistently. So themes or patterns give you insights that your competition are not paying attention to because they're getting sucked in and seeing the actual words and being too close and not backing up and seeing, oh, everybody's expecting this. Well, now I can help them feel understood and give them the things that they need to accomplish what they want to accomplish.
Yeah, I love the taking a bigger picture view and looking for the themes and the underlying patterns and principles there, and also being able then to connect the dots back to, you know, you talked about writing the book, then obviously you connected the dots back to, here's what I know and I can package this up in book form. Now, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
Test. So here we are doing a podcast, and I was realizing, so I tell my clients, you need to think of yourself as a multimedia publishing house. Okay. Well, you and me immediately go, okay, I get that. And so I need to set up a podcast. I need to figure out a podcasting tool. We're going to have to buy mics. How many mics do we need? And well, we naturally did all of those things. But what if I'm running a business and I have a family and I have all this other stuff I need to do? That's too much of an expectation. So what I started doing was, I'll just interview you. And we started doing live stream interviews and just pushing it to their Facebook page, their LinkedIn page, their YouTube channel. So immediately I was helping them produce content. They didn't have to worry about the details. But here they know everything, it's in them. Then you just need someone to help produce them. So I just started, I found the first one that would be patient with me and go through the kind of, your first is your worst. And we did it. And now we're like, I don't know, episode 10 or something. And, you know, he's upgraded his mic and lighting's better. We have structure. This, all this cool stuff has come out. But you just have to be willing to get in there and test drive. You can't expect the other people to see the vision you have and be all excited about figuring it out, because it takes a little bit of courage.
Hmm. Yeah, I love that. Try it out and test it with somebody who will give you feedback as well.
With it. Exactly. Yeah, watch your stuff, see what people think. Hmm. But to see my clients, and now I have three of them I'm doing that with, to see my clients start kind of like they do it as a favor or as because they trust you, and then to really get into it, you see that transformation. Well, that means they're seeing the value. They're looking forward to it. You've really done something here that's valuable to them.
Hmm. Great. I love it. Okay. Do you have a favorite resource you use most often?
Podcast. I love listening to conversations. Actually, YouTube to me is like the best podcasting platform. Hmm. What? YouTube is a podcast. Yeah. Here's the thing. You can listen to a video just like you do a podcast. But the beautiful thing about a video is if they're talking about an image, a document, they're using some example, you can wake your phone up and stop and glance in and get another dimension to that conversation. So to me, YouTube is like it's amazing. How do I do this? And there's all these people that are wanting to give it to you.
Hmm.
And so you can listen to them. You can look in there. You can see the show notes. It's a great resource.
Hmm. Yeah, I love it. I tell all of the people working for me, I say, that, you know, before you come and ask me a question, go to YouTube and type in how to, and then insert the question. And
yeah.
I guarantee you that 9 times out of 10, if not more, you won't need to come and ask me the question, because you'll get the answer.
Absolutely.
Hmm. All right. Now, what's the best way to keep a client on track?
Proper expectations. And that's the hardest thing. You know, in my book, the four things I found. If we take people through the boot camp, I call it the quick start. The first 4 months of every engagement, we do all the same things, basically. We get your messaging right. We start to move you into your technology. We start to address your sales stuff. And then we start to design a strategic campaign. But by walking them through that boot camp, actually you're delivering an experience. Hmm. You're not just doing, you're educating them. You're getting them aligned. You're helping them learn the language. And you're helping... Remember that time you joined a new church, or you joined a new club, or you started, yeah, maybe when you went to university, you had to learn all the lingo. You had to learn all the rituals. You had to kind of learn what's our logo, what's our colors, you know, what's our cheers. That's in play every time a customer onboards with you. So why not facilitate that? That's what your brain's wanting.
Hmm.
That's a great experience. It makes them feel safe, makes them feel understood, and makes them feel loyal.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. I think the onboarding process for new customers is something that people overlook as a really powerful way to differentiate yourself and to create that experience and create that long-term relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hmm. So we've touched on this before, but what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Well, if there's a way that you can create a reason for people not just to give you their attention, but to offer you one of the most valuable assets they have, and it's not money, it's time in their life. They never get that 20 minutes back. They never get that hour back, whatever that is. Whatever you can do to earn that is a big differentiator. So writing a book, creating a podcast, creating something of value that they get from you for free, that helps them think of things differently, that inspires them, that's huge. Every thought leader you and I follow, they had their messaging clear, they had their platform set up, their marketing automation and sales automation, and they ran a strategic campaign, and that's how you learned about them. And so whether it's Simon Sinek, you got to know your why, or it's, you know, Malcolm Gladwell, the tipping point. They sat and really thought through their strategy. They succinctly put their messaging in, and we got that value from it. We've given them all sorts of time and money and attention. That's how you do it. It's nothing new, nothing radical. That's the way it was before, and it's the way it'll be 100 years.
Yeah.
You just need to figure out a way to do it now.
I like the focus on time, too, because that's the only non-renewable resource all of us have.
Mm-hmm.
And so to earn that time by providing value and insights, I think that's a really good differentiator. A lot of people don't do that. We talked in the last episode that I've just come off, we talked a lot about email and social media noise and how a lot of people are quite disrespectful of the time.
Yeah, that's just offensive to me for my phone to ring and I don't know who it is. It's kind of funny, we have a cell phone, but it's like, I don't want to use this as a phone. I'm offended if some, right?
Yeah.
I don't answer it unless it's my mom or they're in my contact. You know, it shows that my brother's calling or whatever. Okay, I'll answer it.
Yeah.
But if I don't know who it is, well, I'm not going to answer. You don't get my time.
Hmm. Yes, and we treat social media a little differently. That's fascinating. All right. Well, thanks, Steve. This has been fabulous. Now, where can people learn more about you and ROI Online and find out about the ROI Online podcast? And the book, of course, The Golden Toilet.
Yeah. So The Golden Toilet, you can learn more about it at thegoldentoilet.com, or you can find it on Amazon. There's an Audible version on Audible. I read it for you. So if you don't like to read, I'll read it to you. there's a Kindle version as well. It's roionline.com is our agency. You can learn more about our Quick Start and our Quick Start Academy, where we'll teach you how to do your own Quick Start. And yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, Steve Brown ROI Online. There's happens to be a few more Steve Brown. So to differentiate myself, I put the ROI Online there. And yeah, message me. If you need some resources, I'm happy to direct you to anything I know to help.
Great. Well, thanks. And we'll have links to all of those on the show notes. And I certainly enjoyed listening to your voice on the audio book.
Yeah. Thank you so much for getting that. And
tend to consume a lot of my books via audio.
It's a great way. And I appreciate your time and focus on that.
All right. Now, do you have some parting advice for our listener today?
Yeah. Let me tell you, it's so easy to get a leg up on your competition. If you just think about, there are humans with faces and names, hopes and dreams and families, and they're just like you, and all they're needing is a little help to resolve a little problem. They're not consumers, they're not credit cards, they're people like you and me, and it's kind of crazy, but being human is a big differentiator. It's a big competitive advantage.
Yeah, I love it. And it is kind of crazy, but you're right, it's a big competitive advantage. And I know when I'm looking for a service or a connection, to get treated like a human being, I immediately say, wow, this is a great company. And yet that should be the norm.
But it's not. Mm. It's so easy to compete and win. Mm. Just treat people like they're humans.
Yeah. Great. Love it. Great parting advice. Finally, who else should I get on this podcast and why?
Oh, I got a handful of folks. You should get Alan Langer, The 7 Secrets to Selling More by Selling Less. Brian Burkhart, Stand for Something, that's his book. Will Leach, Marketing the Mind States. Those are three excellent interviews that I would highly recommend.
Wonderful. Well, we'll reach out to Alan, Brian, and Will, and maybe get an introduction from you, and then we can
absolutely
have them on the show and talk to them as well. And it sounds like I've got a fair bit of reading to do there as well.
Yeah. Great books. I highly promote them.
Great. Thanks a lot, Steve. And thanks so much for sharing your time and your insights with us so generously today. I've really enjoyed this. Obviously, there's a lot of alignment between our philosophies on how we do marketing and why a website's important and why it's part of a bigger system, a business system, as you put it. I really love that. So all the best for the future, and let's stay in touch.
Let's do that. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed that insightful and really engaging conversation with Steve and took something away from his episode. I love Steve's approach to online marketing. It's very aligned with how we do things here, so clearly his messages resonated with me. I particularly loved his view of the website being a business process rather than a project or a product that has a start and end point. I'm really curious to know what you took away from Steve's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/Steve Brown. That is StevBrown. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/Steve Brown. You'll also find contact information there for getting in touch with Steve, as well as links to the ROI online website, the ROI online podcast, his book, The Golden Toilet, and his social media pages and the other resources we spoke about in today's conversation. Now, if you liked this episode, please do two other people the favor of sharing it with them, two other people that it might help. Tag me in on that share and I'll reach out to you with a special surprise. Steve suggested that we have a conversation with Alan Langer, author of The 7 Secrets to Selling More by Selling Less, and also with Brian Burkhart, founder and chief word guy at Square Planet, and, three for the price of one, Will Leach of Mind State Marketing on future Innova Buzz podcast episodes. So Alan, Brian, and we'll keep an eye on your inboxes for an invitation from us to the Innova Buzz podcast, courtesy of Steve Brown. Tune in again to the next episodes of the Innova Buzz podcast. We've got yet more fantastic guests lined up, including Lisa Johnson, freedom and success coach, and Brian McMahon of Expert Dojo. Thanks for listening to this episode. Make sure you subscribe to the show to be reminded of new episodes. It's free to subscribe. Leave a review if you like. Even if you don't like me, I'm okay with that. I'm asking you to leave a review because it helps other people find this show. Go to innovabiz.co to join our marketing transformation community and access a free gift my team and I made for you. It's the Marketing Master Mini Class. We want to give you everything you need to transform your marketing into a human-centered, relationship-focused growth engine. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.